matter what, you're part of my neighborhood, I'll be there to defend you if I see something ugly going down, you know. And I seen a lot of things go down, and you know, I stepped up sometimes. I had to slap a few people here and there.
From Louisville Public Media, this is Five Things, the show that tells a life story through the objects we treasure. I'm Tara Anderson. My guest this week is someone I would refer to as a delight. I met Mario Landa probably 15 years ago when he was the doorman in my apartment building in New York City. For 5 years, I saw him almost every single day. If you're not familiar with what a doorman does, we'll talk more about that in this interview. But spoiler, it's a lot more than opening a door. We've kept in touch since I moved away from the city, and last summer, I sat down with him in his apartment to do this interview. He cracked open a couple of beers, and his two little dogs scurried around at our feet.
My name is Mario Landa Jr. I'm from Honduras. I've been, you could say, most of my life here in New York City, Manhattan. I've always been a Washington Heights gentleman. As a job right now, I'm a doorman at 140 Cabrini Boulevard. It's also a few blocks away from my home, so I don't get to take no train, no buses, so that's pretty cool, you know. I don't have to deal with all that madness, you know. But yeah, that's basically, I also do on the side, I do installations with a friend of mine for TVs, audios, surround sounds. That's just a little extra money in the side, you know.
I didn't know that.
I used to paint before. I was a painter, but I had back surgery a year ago for my sciatica, so I can't do nothing like that no more, you know.
Do you have to be cautious about lifting things now in your
job? Yes. Yeah, I have to, yeah. I mean, I could still lift pretty heavy, but don't take a chance, you know. That's what my doctor told me. So why take a chance, you know? You're not getting any younger, Mario. I like, thanks a lot, doc. You know?
They're always so helpful, that
way. Yeah.
So we know each other because I used to live at your building.
That's right.
Yes. And you were there the day that we brought our baby daughter home from the hospital.
Yep.
I remember you took pictures of us getting out of the car with the little baby.
That's right.
And you were just always there.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. That's why I say I feel old sometimes. I look at these kids, they were born, some of them already college, high school, you know.
Yeah, you get to see families grow up.
Yeah, and some of them, you know, leave too, which is sad, you know. But that's part of life, you know.
Yeah.
Manhattan is it's a fast-moving trend, you know. In and out. You guys left. Look.
We did.
You see?
we come back every once in a
while. Yeah, it happens, you know. I've seen it all come up and down there, you know. But thank God everything's been working out pretty good, you know. Uptown's it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of pretty trendy, you know, so.
Right, that's what
I'm saying. Very trendy. A lot of good restaurants, a lot of good chefs out here. Nice lounges up in Inwood, too. So, no, it's kind of pretty good, you know. There's no need to go downtown no more, to be honest with you. I don't go downtown. Just to buy a few things here and there, but to hang out, I don't do that anymore. You know what it is? I think I just got burnt out with downtown, you know. Because I was in the club scene for a long time when I was younger, you know, so I guess I had enough of it. You get older too, you know, that's just like a passing stage in your life, you know, your 20s, 30s, you know. Once I started working in Castle Village, I was in my mid-30s, I'm gonna hit 50 in about a few days, so. You know, I still like to party, don't get me wrong. I still like to party. You know, but not like before. No more. I have more responsibilities now.
You have these two little puppies to take care of.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
It's very important.
Plus, I take care of my sister and my dad whenever they need me, you know. So I'm there for them, you know. Since I never had kids, so why not help my sister out, you know. Yeah.
So I asked you to pick out five things.
Right.
That have been important in your life somehow, and we're going to talk about them, and we're gonna hear the Mario Landa story.
Well, one of the things that I've been attached to since I was a young kid, to believe it or not, as you can see, I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah, like, I see.
Yeah, memorabilia.
We're sitting here in your living room. We've got a big Stormtrooper helmet, I see.
Darth Maul, Darth Vader.
Yeah, we got all the figures over there.
Yeah, I'm extremely attached to these things. I do have a collection of them, of the 8-inch figures, which I have it in my custom storage. I have over maybe 400 action figures.
Wow.
I can't fit them in here, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't like people touching my my collectibles. Yeah, I don't. If I have a get-together and I know if things are going to, you know, I put it away. So I don't like people touching my things, you know, unless I tell them it's okay, you know.
So when did you first see the Star Wars movies?
1977.
Like when they came, that, first
when it first came out. I was 9 years old.
And where were you living then?
At the time, I was in Fordham Row, staying with my grandmother, because that came out in the summer, if I'm not mistaken. So I think I was on vacation, or summer was almost over. And ever since I saw it in RKO Fordham Row, that was it. I was hooked on it.
Yeah, that's in the Bronx.
Yeah, I mean, I literally have Star Wars tattoos on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
That. Did you have any idea what you were getting
into? I kind of had a little idea what I was going to get into, but I didn't think it was going to be made an impact like me like it did, you know?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I watch a Star Wars movie every week. Every week I have to watch one movie or two. Every week of my life.
Okay, so are we sticking with like the main story, or do you branch out?
I'm very open to all of them. You know, it's Star Wars, so you know, it's Star Wars. So I'm a geek to that. You know, I'm very geeky enough to that to admit it. But yeah, Star Wars for me is, I think, my main attachment to my life. You know, because I look forward sometimes to just coming home and putting on my 4K movies or Blu-rays and just relaxing, having a cold beer and watch the movies with my dogs or my friends or my girlfriends, you know. Sometimes I force them, but too bad, you know.
I think if somebody's going to be friends with you, they're going to have to get on board with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's millions of fans, you know. Definitely millions of fans of Star Wars.
So do you get into, like, going to the cons and that kind of thing too?
Yes, I do have costumes, but I kind of lost a few of my precious Stormtroopers and Darth Vader outfits that I paid top dollar. It was just a misunderstanding with an ex-girlfriend of mine. She burned them, and yeah, so that was kind of a...
Okay, so I need to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, she was a teacher, lived up in Inwood. Beautiful woman and everything, Dominican Egyptian. So she freaked out on me one day, and I came home, and she had burned my Stormtrooper outfit. She destroyed some of my collectibles. So I lost that day, I think maybe like $15,000 worth in memorabilia. Yeah, so it was, I mean, that was it for me. I took my things and left, you know.
She knew how to hurt you.
Yeah, she knew. She knew what she was doing, because she knew it's Star Wars. So she knew where to get me, you know. And she got me good, so I learned my lesson, you know. That's why I have my collectibles in friends' house, in my cousin's house, you know. Oh, and another thing, since I live in New York City in an apartment, I have insurance on my apartment. So I'm like, you know, keeping my options, you know, because you never know.
Yep.
You never know, you know. God forbid, but New York City's a little crazy, you know.
So tell me what the Star Wars movies mean to you.
You know, every time I see a Star Wars movie, it just takes me back to when I was a kid, to be honest with you, and the happy times that I was with my cousins, when we were all together, you know, and every time I see a movie now, I just relax, you know, it relaxes me. I don't think about the, you know, work, girlfriends, you know, anything else. I drift away into a different galaxy, you know, to be honest with you, you know. I just take off, yeah. You know, yes. And that's why, you know, I mean, like I said, I watch one every week. My second thing will be, I would guess my tattoos.
Yeah, you have a lot.
Yes, I am addicted to tattooing, and that's like my second most precious thing that I, you know, I consider it a walking art. I'm a walking art, and I'm still getting tattoos. I have my two sleeves, one on my legs, my chest, and I'm working on my back now, which is my back. I'm doing it's gonna be all rock and roll theme. So far, I have Billy Idol, that's my idol.
Right here on the wall, also.
Billy Idol's my idol, and then I have Jim Morrison. I'm gonna throw on David Bowie, Jimi Hendrix, and a few other guys in my back. But which I also go to the tattoo conventions every year.
Oh wow!
Yeah, most time I do the YouTube. Mm-hmm. So if I can't go, I YouTube it and I see what was going on. Yeah. You know, so I mean internet. You know.
Tell me about your first tattoo.
My first tattoo was it was a tribal Aztec, more like a Mayan tattoo. That was my first one. This was like, I would say 25 years ago, 25, 26 years ago. That was my first tattoo. I mean, it was extremely painful, of course, you know, because you're not used to it. But from one, I went into a tribal tattoo. Then I got a tribal scorpion, and I got a tribal dragon. I kept one arm like all black and gray, and the other arm I started doing more of Egyptian culture, because I'm also into the Egyptian culture. I love the stories.
Yeah, and so you've got the back, like they look like Anubis, something you
Horus,
find.
Yeah, Ramses.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting a retouch in a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
I've been getting all my tattoos retouched.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, you have to tell.
Yeah.
Describe that.
This is a Darth Maul.
Right on
from
your...
From the Phantom Menace.
On your left shoulder.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite... Well, my second favorite character from the dark side. I also have a Darth Vader.
Yep.
And then I have the Emperor.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Right.
See, like I said, I'm into the dark side, so yeah.
How did you decide to get that first tattoo? I always love hearing. Like once you've got one, getting another is not such a big deal.
It's an addiction, to be honest with you. I started seeing more and more of tattoos in the street. When I got this tattoo, tattoos were illegal in New York.
What? No.
Yes.
Illegal to give somebody.
No, illegal to give somebody and illegal to have a shop, too. So everything was like underground.
I had no idea. Okay, so tell me how you got this done.
I got it done through a tattoo artist named Darren Rosa, which he's from Washington Heights also. Very talented guy. And I got to go to his mother's house while he was tattooing at his mother's house. So he was young at the time. I was young at the time, you know, when I first saw this. And I was like, oh, I got to get one of these. Years went by, and it just happened that I ran into him, and he told me he had a shop downtown. The shop he had was down on 23rd on Park Avenue in a little studio.
And is he the person who's done the rest of your work?
He's done, I would say, like 85% of my tattoos, yeah. But I stopped going to, he's kind of too busy. Mm. And he's, you know, he's kind of a little older. So he has a family also, you know, kids, wife. So he has other people working at the shop. So thankfully that I found another Washington Heights guy, Chris, which I did the clubbing with in the 80s and 90s, he became a tattoo artist. And he lives around the corner from my house.
Nice.
So I don't even have to travel for that. I just go to his house, and he tattoos me in his house, you know. Get the retouch and finish my cyber angel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to finish the stars.
What's this writing underneath?
That was my mother-in-law, passed away in 1996.
Your mother-in-law.
Yeah, that was when I was married.
Oh, see, I'm learning all sorts of things I didn't know about you.
Yes.
So that strikes me as kind of unusual to get your mother-in-law's name
on your arm. She was amazing.
Yeah? Tell me about
She was like a mother I never had. You know, like I told you before, I didn't grow up with a mother. Actually, I do have a mother, but things didn't work out, so son and mother, you know, should. This lady will call me at my job and ask me what I wanted to eat today. What do you want to eat tomorrow? Do you need anything? You know, it's like she looked out for me like unbelievably, you know. Dominican lady, too. And to this day, I treasure that lady to the day I die, you know. So I did this little memorabilia for her, you know. So it was, I think about it, you know. I wish she still would be around. Maybe she still would have been around. Maybe we would never gotten divorced, you know. You know, we were married for almost 8 years. Together 11 years. And so, you know, I've been single ever since, you know.
Except for the lady who burned your
cup. Oh, yeah. Forget about her, man. Forget about that.
Wow. That's nice that you have that to remember. Yeah. Somebody who was sweet to you.
Yeah, she was amazing, you know. Amazing lady, yeah. That's the only name I have on my body.
I was just going to ask.
It's the only name I have on my body.
Your shirt aside a little bit. Oh my gosh, you got little Keith Haring tattoos.
The baby
on either side of your yeah. Like your shoulders.
My shoulder, yeah.
You got the barking dog and then the little baby. Happy baby. Oh my gosh, that's great. Those are wonderful. That really marks you as a New Yorker.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, why did you decide to get those two?
I worked on the Village. That was another thing that this is another one that I'm attached to.
Uh-huh.
Shoes,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a shoe man.
All right, what kind of shoes?
I like expensive shoes. Thank God I could afford them because I'm single, you know. But I worked in the Village on Make 10, Richards Number 1, several boutique, a few stores on A Street. And we're talking about the mid-80s to mid-90s, maybe 93, around there. And I got to meet a lot of celebrities, and Keith Haring was one of them before he passed. I used to sell thigh-high boots to him, pumps and everything.
That is
yeah.
So great.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very down to earth, you know. Sad the way he had to go, but, yeah, that's one of the celebrities that I got to meet. I used to sell shoes to Donna Summers, LaToya Jackson, Bon Jovi, AC/DC, a few of the underground punk bands. Got to meet Steve Stevens, the guitarist for Billy Idol.
Have you ever gotten to meet Billy Idol?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I did. And CBGB's one day. Yeah.
What was that like?
Are you kidding me? I still remember the day. Yeah, he was with Steve Stevens and his entourage there.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
What did you say to him?
I shook his hand. I said, I'm a big fan of yours, you know. Love Rebel Yell, the album. And, you know, it was just a 1-2-3 thing. At least I got to meet the guy, you know. Yeah.
What was he like?
Extremely awesome. Yeah, you could tell he was already partying and everything, you know. But it was pretty entertaining, you know, just to meet the guys, you know. But getting back to the shoes was the, since I worked down the Village, everything was shoes down there. That's what it was known mm-hmm. for. I got to know what shoes to wear, what not to wear, you know. I have never, well, I did, but I think it was only one time. I've never owned a pair of Timberlands since like 1984 or 85.
So you don't wear Timberlands?
No, I don't wear Timberlands. I wear like red, extremely bad shoes. Extremely. I wouldn't recommend them, guys.
So why are they so beloved then?
It's just the media, you know?
Yeah.
They hyped it up and they're pretty crappy shoes, to be honest, you know? I mean, I wear good shoes, red ones.
What are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing Georgia boots. Yeah, these are about like $200 uh-huh. a pop, you know? I have Fry boots for uh-huh. $400. Red Wings, $300. I just got a pair of dance clothes for work. They're like clog, semi-clog shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it cost me like $1.60.
Being a New Yorker, having decent shoes is super important. And especially in your job, you're on your feet all day.
You have to have... I'm on my feet up and down, up and down, up and down. Snow, rain, shine. We get everything in New York, you know?
Yeah.
So the shoes do take a beating here, New York City.
And for somebody who's listening to this and doesn't really know what a doorman does, right? Because I didn't know that until I moved here. I was like, why is there a whole job of somebody who just opens the door?
Oh, man. Doorman has a lot of responsibilities, man. Especially in New York City. People are shopaholics here, man. And now it's getting even worse because people hardly go shopping downtown. Everything comes in through the internet.
Yeah.
Amazon. I mean, you name it. Walmart, Target. I mean, I get packages like, whoo.
Right.
Christmas time, forget about it. I get a day easily like 100, 120 packages a day for Christmas.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's my responsibility to keep an eye on all of them, too. Right. So.
And then you remember who's coming in, and you can say, hey, yeah, you got
a package, mm-hmm. this, go that. Not only that, they're coming in, plus people going shopping, grocery, got to go downstairs, help them out with the carriage, take this out, the luggage, this and that. Logging them in. UPS delivery going upstairs, you got to log them in, log them out. You have to keep an eye on the... We have cameras now over mm-hmm. there, so mm-hmm. we got to keep an eye on the roof. Cause we had a few incidents before, but nothing really. Guys just trying to sneak in to put flyers and things mm-hmm. like that, you know. So that was one of the reasons they put the cameras in the lobby for the doorman, you know. Mm-hmm. The doorman's like almost like a security guard too, but more like a little high class security, you know. We get paid really good too. Yeah,
it's a good gig.
No, it is. I'm thankful for having that job, you know. Mm-hmm. But it could be a little hectic too, you know.
Sure.
Because you got to deal with a lot of jerks sometimes. Yeah. You know, you really do. You know, sometimes we have to bite our lips, you know.
Yeah.
You get them all over.
Sure.
Here and there, it doesn't matter where you live. You're always going to get a few of those people that are just going to nag you, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I didn't realize how helpful it is to have a doorman until I moved into a doorman building. Like all those packages, right? I used to have them shipped to my work.
I had people call me from their jobs telling me, Mary, I think I left the stove on. I think I did left it. And sure enough, the stove was on. The window was open. There was a storm coming. The hair dryer, the curling iron left on top of the bed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got a lot of calls like that. And the most precious ones that I got is my old ladies, they're all gone from 140. They had me an Amber Alert. So if they were to fall, I would get a phone call and get up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and go pick them up. And I'm not doing it for money or anything.
Yeah.
I'm doing that out of the kindness of my heart, you know. So it's just one thing that, you know, you grow up to, like, get attached to these old ladies. Oh, we had fun. So many, you know, it's sad, but we found a lot of people dead in their apartments. And the thing is that I get the phone call all the time. They're like, Mary, have you seen such and so? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen him. Is he away? No. Do you think? I say, yep. Mm. George the Super goes up with the assistant, and sure enough, they're either in bed or somewhere on the floor, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. It's sad, but it happens, you know.
It's part of the job people don't think about.
Yeah. Oh, we deal a lot. We see a lot of that there. I'm attached to my ex-girlfriend friend as we speak, you know. We known each other since we were teenagers.
Uh-huh.
So ever since then, I've been kind of Okay, you could say I've been attached to her, you know, ever since.
So she's your ex-girlfriend?
She's my ex-girlfriend and friend now, you know.
Okay, all right.
So we're trying to see what's going to happen, you know. Okay, so we live to, yeah. Her name is Angie. She's 3 years older than I am. We've known each other since I was about 15 and she was about 18.
Uh-huh. You meet here in New York?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. Washington Heights, yeah. And ever since then, we always liked each other, but we could never, like...
The dogs are decide right now to wrestle. Thanks.
Guys, come on. So, yeah, no, we know each other for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had ups and downs and everything like that. She's the one who cleans my apartment. I help her out financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever she needs anything, I'm there for her. We lived together for about 5 years, 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Things didn't work out. Yeah. She moved out. We started hanging out again like about a year ago. But I guess this time we're not going to rush it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming to a time, you know, that we're both getting older. She's 53. I'm turning 50. You know, sometimes, you know, I do feel alone in the house, you know.
Yeah.
I would like to come home to somebody. Even though I have my dogs, which is awesome, and my movies and my, you know, my entertainment. But, you know, I have nobody to talk to sometimes. So, kind of a lonely situation sometimes, you know. But, yeah, Angie, I've been attached to her for a long, long time, you know. She might be a pain in the ass, but I'm a bigger pain in the ass, you know?
Yeah. Sounds like you're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself maybe ever getting married again?
With her, yes. All the women I just dated and, you know, had a good time. But with her, yeah, I wouldn't. I say if I get married again, this is going to be it, you know. We can't have kids way past her age, you know. But I don't mind, you know.
Did you ever want to have kids?
I don't know what to tell you, you know. I love kids, don't get me wrong, you know. I play with them at my job, with my friends' kids and everything like that. Kids love me, you know, I bring them lollipops, Disneyland, you know, all the time. You know, kids are not for everybody. I guess, you know, it's just that I like doing different things. I like going out. I like buying this. I like buying that. I like spoiling my father, my sister, Angie, or any girlfriend that I'm later.
He doesn't like that movie that's on the TV.
Even my father asked me, he goes, when are you gonna make me a grandfather? I was like, don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not gonna happen there.
Well, good luck with Angie.
Yeah, let's see what happens. You know?
Is that weird at all to have like your ex-girlfriend come clean your house?
Not really. Because like I said, I help out financially, you know, so.
Mm.
She's not working at the moment, you know. So whenever she needs anything, and I mean anything, shoes, clothes, hair, whatever, do her, I spoil her, you know, I say, here, how much you need? A couple of hundreds? Take it. Because I want her to be happy.
Talk about your last, what's your fifth and final thing you want to talk about?
I don't know. I guess my neighborhood.
Mm.
You know, I'm very attached to it. I have plenty of chances to move out. I have moved out, but not too far away, but I keep coming back to Washington Heights, you know. I'm attached to this neighborhood, you know. It's part of my life. It is my life. To be honest with you, I will finish my my job, you know, do my full pension and everything. Maybe I got another 11 years to go. I'll have a full pension. But I don't think I will ever retire here. It's getting too expensive.
Yeah.
New York City is getting too expensive. I love my neighborhood to death, but I see it now, you know. All the people that have retired, they move out. They're like, they can't afford it.
Right. So you think when you quit working, you'll probably move somewhere else?
Yeah, maybe I'll stick around for a few years to see how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
where do you think you'd go?
Well, this is just a crazy idea I've come up with, you know. I would like to retire in Tahiti and open up a rock and roll theme, you know, bar over there. That's my plan.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, that's what I would like to do.
Have you ever been there?
My friends have gone there, and then they show me videos. And I'm like, that's it, man.
That's
the place. I was supposed to go this year, but things didn't work out. Not financially, just that a friend of mine was supposed to go with me, and he got a new job, so he couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to see if this happens next year.
Okay.
Yeah, so we want to go over there for at least maybe a little group of us this time. Maybe for 2 weeks over there.
Yeah, because that's a long trip. You want
to stay. It's a whole day to get there, so that's my plan. But as in my neighborhood, you know, if I see something wrong, I'm going to step up. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, Asian, gay, straight, no matter what. You're part of my neighborhood, I'll be there to defend you. You know, if I see something ugly going down, you know. And I've seen a lot of things go down. And, you know, I stepped up sometimes. I had to slap a few people here and there. You know, I had guns pulled out at me, knives and everything. I'm like, if you're going to take it out, you better use it, man. So they just walk away, you know.
Do you carry a gun?
No, that's not my style, you know. I do carry a knife, a few knives. I do carry that, but gun.
Have you ever had to pull that out? And
yeah, I've done it. I've pulled that out 3 or 4 times. Yeah, but nothing happened. You know, they just backed away and everything like that. You know, thank God. You know, because. You never know. They might either kill me or I kill one of them, you know? So it's better off that didn't happen, you know?
I mean, I feel like this neighborhood's pretty safe. The whole time I lived here, I felt like it's pretty safe. Would you say that's the case?
No, it's safe, you know? But you get your little thugs that come from the Bronx, Brooklyn, or even Jersey, believe it or not. They come here for a quick buck, you know? Because they know this neighborhood has money.
Yeah.
They know people here are working people, you know? I would say 80% of the people here are hardworking people, you know, which I know because I know mostly everybody here, you know. Mm-hmm. So we kind of look at, you know, we look at one for one another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Mario, you got 30 here. I'll get you tomorrow. No problem. You know, we lend money to each other, you know, because we're all working people. We know we're going to get it back, you know.
You said this neighborhood is getting more expensive all the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of changes in the last few years?
Yeah, it's a lot of people from the midtown, they're starting to move uptown. The landlords are fixing their apartments up. They renovate them. From a $1,200 that you pay a month, they boost it up to $3,000.
Yeah.
Regular, you know, people that with regular jobs can't afford that.
Yeah.
Unless it's like five of you in one apartment, which is, you know, which it does happen too, you know, but it's, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I can afford this apartment on my own, you know.
This place is pretty spacious. This is not what a lot of people would think of for a New York City apartment.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty big, yeah. And, you know, I mean, you have your ups and downs in the neighborhood, you know.
Sure.
I've seen stores go out of business. New stores come in, which is good, you know. I mean, once we got the Starbucks here, I said, oh, this is definitely going to change now. When we saw that a few years ago, we were like, holy shit, here we go. And sure enough, little by little, they started coming from downtown. It got people here from different countries, too, you know. I go to the local bar, got Italian guys, Portuguese, Brazilians, your Puerto Ricans, your Dominicans. You got your Mexicans, you have your English people, French, I mean, everything, you know, in one bar hanging out. That's still what I like about this neighborhood, you know. It's like you meet everybody here, and you meet some pretty interesting people in the neighborhood too, you know.
When did you first move to this neighborhood?
Oh, let me see. Well, my aunt already lived here in 815 181st. So we moved around here like in 81.
Okay.
Yeah. It was interesting because when I used to come here, I used to hang out all the white boys. the white boys, we have Russians.
Yeah, there are a lot of Russians. Yes, in this neighborhood.
Yes, a lot of Ruskies around here, a lot of Russians, regular Americans. And believe it or not, I grew up with a lot of Hasidic Jews.
Right, down the hill on, yes, Bennett. Yeah.
And people, like, when I see them, hey, Mary, how you doing? They're like, how do you know that guy? I said, we grew up together. We used to play ball up in the Fort Tryon Park, you know. They're like, what, those guys? It's like, yeah. That's what I mean about the neighborhood. It's like, you meet a lot of different people, you know. You got to remember, in the 80s, this was a drug haven here.
Yeah.
It was still a nice neighborhood, but it was a little dangerous at nighttime. A lot of drugs. Then we saw the crack epidemic hit, which was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I used to walk out to go to school, and I would be stepping on crack vials.
Wow.
It looked like a storm in the street. And it was sad because I got to see a few of my friends die from that, you know. Young guys, younger than I was, you know. I was in my early 20s, and these guys were like 17, 16, 18, killing themselves with that, you know. And good-looking guys and good-looking women, they're all gone.
Why do you think you escaped that?
I guess I came from a family that was never really into that type of lifestyle, you know. Countries like where I come from, Honduras, now maybe there is, but back then, if you were a drug addict, you were banned, you know. So I mean, it was alcohol and smoke, you know, but like
there was a stigma against drugs.
Yeah, it was, and over there they will lock you up. They don't mess around. So I guess my parents grew up with that mentality and pass it on to me, you know. But growing up in this neighborhood wasn't easy because you have pressure, you know. You have friends of yours smoking weed, doing cocaine. I mean, I done it all. I'm not gonna lie, you know. It was a time that I was kind of hooked on a few things here and there, but I shook it off, and you know, it was just I guess it was just a passing trend for me, you know. I gave a lot of that stuff up already, you know. So I focus more on myself, you know, physically, mentally, and in my home, you know. And maybe moving forward one day, you know, hopefully I'll get to own this apartment if it goes co-op, you know. So, like I said, I'm not going to leave this neighborhood, you know. This is like part of me, you know. And it's part of, you know, we both look after each other, you know. And it's so cool that I even work in the neighborhood. That's what even makes it even better.
Yeah.
You know?
This isn't just a place you come home to.
Yeah, I work here too. So I see everything that's moving on, you know. So I'm always, I have my eyes on everything, you know.
Well, I look forward to coming to visit you in Tahiti.
Oh, yes. Sir. That would be awesome. Nice rock and roll theme over there. Woo. Oh, yes.
That sounds fun.
I can't wait.
All right, so I have one last question for
sure.
you.
Uh-huh.
In the course of choosing these five things, do you think there was anything that you discovered about yourself, anything you learned about yourself in the process?
Well, I never spoken to nobody about all these five things, you know. You think about it, but you don't say it verbally, you know, to somebody. Now people are going to know how I feel towards these five things, you know. So it's kind of cool. Maybe some of the people out there, maybe like they like me, you know. They're like, he's a Star Wars fan. He's a, you know, shoe guy, a neighborhood guy, things like that, you know. But I guess it just show it to me. I think it's, how can I put it to you? I'm just happy that, you know, that all these things are happening to me, you know. you don't think about it, but it is happening in the back of your head, you know. It's part of life, you know. You go through a process, I guess, you know. As you get older, you wise up, I believe so. And I see myself as wising up, you know, because maybe 10 years ago, I wasn't thinking as clear as I'm thinking now, you know.
You're about to hit a milestone.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Awesome. I don't even look my age, man.
People no, you
like,
don't.
Like, Mary, you're going to be 50. You got to be fucking kidding me, man. I said, nah, man. I'm going to hit 50. Born 1968. 50 years old.
It doesn't look possible.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
People think that I'm like 39, 42, like that. Like, nah, man. 50 years old, man. I tell them, listen, man. I used to hang out with your mother. What are you talking about? They're like, that's right. I forgot about that. They're like, okay, you see what I mean? It's funny because some of these, the younger guys, they're like, you know, I say, what's up to nominate them? And I ask them, how's your mom doing? She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I used to hang out with your mom, so. We went to school together and everything, you know. They're like, oh my God. I said, but you know what it is? I don't overdo it. I don't do this every week.
Yeah.
You can only do so much once a week or, you know, every other week, you know. You got to pace yourself as you get older, you know. You have to. I mean, I got pretty drunk, you know, a few times. Man, I paid for it for like 2 days, let me tell you.
As you get older, I know.
I'm not doing this no more. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Tara.
Thanks again to Mario Landa for being my guest this week. Our show was produced, edited, and mixed by me, with editing oversight from Laura Ellis. Our theme music is by Alex Wright. You can get more information on our show at WFPL.org. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and I hope you subscribe to 5 Things wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.